This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I always remind myself anew of taqwallah azza wa jal, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases myself anew of awareness and consciousness of our dealings with him through our dealings with others, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our love of him, our fear of him, and our hope in his mercy in our private life more than we seek to show each other publicly. Allahumma ameen. One of the great surahs that is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is short in number of verses but profound in meaning is Surah Al-Asr. And I wish inshaAllah over the next 15 minutes to reflect upon it myself anew from a vantage point of it being a strategy to success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines a battle plan for you and I to approach any problem and how to work through it to achieve at the end of its road a better outcome than if we had not deliberated over the instructions of this surah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a general reminder in particular to him, but also to anyone who has come to appreciate their time and place in the world, Allah says, "Wal asr." I swear to you by the passage of time. I bring to attention, to mind, that time goes by. And subhanAllah, as a part of our culture, as Muslims, we always think of it, even in Arabic culture, we talk about time as being like a sword. That if you don't use it to your advantage, it comes back and cuts out of you what you would have missed off had you not reflected upon it. And the concept of Asr has been spoken of by the Mufassirun in different capacities. Some took it literally that they're speaking about that Allah is referencing the most important and neglected prayer of the day, which is Salatul Asr. Asr prayer is one of those prayers that is at times not observed with the same critique that other prayers are. Think of Jumu'ah, for example. You know it's going to be at an awkward time in the day. You know you have to schedule your lunch period. You know for Fajr that you have to wake up and rise out of bed. You know for Isha you have before you go to sleep. But the Asr prayer is at that time when everybody begins to wind down their day. You've gotten home from work. It's not the first thing that you always attempt to do as you walk home or that you plan on meeting in the masjid and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you pass by towards your family and your children and your dinner and getting other things set up. The Asr prayer is one where you are not always precise to enter it and pray it at the time it enters in unless you thought about it. So Allah says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Guard your prayers. وَصَلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. But the middle prayer, be extra careful with that. The one in your downtime. And therefore when the ulama, they speak about Salatul Asr and the concept of Al-Asr in this surah, what they mean is that know that time goes by quickly. And if you don't plan for it, you will find that at the end of your day, that you were negligent in the timings that you wanted to attain success in. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Mankind find themselves in their entirety. When you reflect on human consciousness, when you reflect on mankind's place and the oppression that they interchange with each other as a result of the inequities they have within themselves, ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. The wrong we do to our own selves reflects in the behavior we have with others. When you look at the totality of the human experience, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. The forgetful one, which is the literal translation of al-insan. In the Quran, there are only two words that Allah uses to describe the human being. Bani Adam, the children of Adam, are described one in a physical and the other in a conceptual and conscious sense. In the physical sense, you are referred to by Allah in the Quran as bashar. إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. Basharan sawiyya. Bashar means the one who is hairless. It's actually a very unique way of Allah describing a human being. See, there were other primates, there were other creations of Allah that walked the earth that had different structures. Some were upright, some were humanoids and so on. But there was this very specific creation of Allah that was referred to as Adam, who was different to others. And one of the separations between Adam and others who appeared like him, had structures similar to him, is that Adam can bashar, didn't have the fur and the hair that covers other mammals. The second is the rational and intellectual capacity, which is that we are forgetful. Forgetful of what? Of the amana that we have made as a promise to Allah. عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Human beings took upon the burden of bearing the choice and the ability to choose right from wrong and good from bad and be rewarded or held accountable for it. And Allah describes Adam, لَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. I didn't find in Adam and those who would come after him a constancy. إِلَىٰ آدَمَ وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِي. He forgot. And since that day, we are referred to as al-insan. Physically, bashar. Intellectually, rationally, al-insan. And Allah here says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. The human being whose greater capacity of life is forgetfulness, is ghafil, heedless, unwilling to remember the consequence and the dhikr of Allah. The word dhikr in the Qur'an has the imagery of five essential things. To maintain what you already know. So something I know, Allah gives us the Qur'an to remind us of what you already know. Number two, that Allah acquaints us with something we don't know, but if we look deeper, we should have known. And Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ. Has it arrived to you? The story of Musa. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ. Look a little bit deeper into their stories. Reflect on the consequence of the past to see what your future holds. The third consequence of the word dhikr is that it's meant to be something you know, something you remember, but something you bury away under desire and doubt. So you try to forget it. وَتَتَغَافَلْ عَنْهُ. Pretend it's not of consequence in your life. Everything will be okay. Allahu ghafurun rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind. The reminder benefits who? Not the unbeliever, not the wayward, the believer who's made that mistake of forgetting the consequence of their life. Number four, the dhikr is al-Qur'an al-Hakim. Allah revealed it and He said that its purpose is to remind you. And the final element of a dhikr is to remember that through the Qur'an, through all human experience, to remember that there will be a day of standing before Allah. That you will stand in front of Allah and be questioned. Wal asr, time passes. The one who will fail from amongst humanity, innal insan, is the one who's prone to forgetting, distant from the dhikr of Allah. So Allah tells us in Surah Taha, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. I didn't give you this Qur'an to put you in hardship, to make everything blocked in your way. It is meant to be simply a reminder if your heart is sincere and awake in your desire to be pleasing to Allah, to be pleasing and comfortable in your surroundings, in life and with humanity. Allah then gives us four-step plan to achieve success at not being forgetful and being in the assistance of others to not be forgetful. In one of the most profound hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya mal'una," the hadith rawahu al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. This worldly life you live in is cursed. The curse on the worldly life is whatever you use in it becomes wasteful, except these four things. Ad-dunya mal'una. Mal'unu ma fiha. Cursed whatever is upon it and in it. Illa arba', except four things. Illa dhikrullah, wa ma walahu, wa 'aliman wa muta'allima. Four things. The remembrance of Allah, that which assists you to remember Allah, the one who is a scholar and practicing of what they know, and the one who seeks to learn what they don't know. Everything else goes to waste when you consume it. That past you, it does not have benefit. Knowledge and the remembrance of God is the only thing that remains that is not touched with that curse of coming to waste after it's experienced and practiced. So when Allah speaks to you about your good deeds, He says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتِ الصالحات خير عند ربك. When you do something good, you forget it. If I was to ask you now, ya akhi, how much charity did you give in Ramadan? Give me a dollar figure. You say, wallahi brother, I don't know. I know I put some in the box behind you in the musalla. I might have given something to, Allahu a'lam. I don't know. You don't know the dollars and cents. If I ask you, how many footsteps from your office to come to the prayer place to pray Salatul Jumu'ah? I don't know. I don't know how many steps. I don't know what dhikr I made last year, last week, or last day. But it becomes saved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Wa ma walahu, and what helps you or helps others to remember Him never goes to waste. Wa aliman, the one whose purpose is to remind you. Wa muta'allima, the one whose desire is to uncover what they don't yet know, to come to conformity of what they know. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا except. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا except those who possess faith, subhanAllah. Iman, there is no مِعْيَار. Like, I can't say to you, how much Iman do you have today, أخي? You have 50% or 70%? What's your percentage of Iman today? Oh, Shaykh, I'm 76. I'm an A student today, mashallah. Yesterday, 74. I didn't get there. La. Musamma al-Iman, the description of Iman, it's subjective. So everything that will come after it is to then describe to you what level of faith you have. When the Prophet is asked, what is Iman in the hadith of Jibreel, narrated by Imam Muslim? He says it's to believe in Allah, the angels, the scriptures, the messengers, the day of judgment, to believe in fate. Each one of those can be separate from the other according to the test of your life. SubhanAllah, today, yes, you believe in Allah, but the level of Iman you'll be tested in could be your qadr. At this moment, you don't know what your qadr is. There could be something waiting around the corner. A phone call that's going to come that's going to test your iman. It's not going to be iman in the angels that's tested. It's not going to be your iman in the book that's tested. It's going to be qadr. It could be on another day, your qadr and your submission to Allah, al-khayri wa sharr is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good and evil is with Allah's power. And you pass that test. But the test that comes to you tomorrow is scriptural. A verse is recited to you, a hadith is narrated to you, and your heart is like, but I don't want to. I find it difficult. I don't want to accept. I don't want to conform. This is something that is beyond me. And this would happen even with the sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. When the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah were revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He holds us accountable to what is in our hearts. The Sahaba, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, قَدْ جَاءَكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا لَا نُطِيقُ. Something came to you that we don't know if we can pass this test. Allah's going to hold me accountable to my thoughts of negativity towards another, to my jealousy from another, to my anger and hostility, even if I didn't say anything, even if I didn't act. So Allah reveals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah will not hold you accountable beyond what you're able to hold and master your control over. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. You will be judged for what you did, وَعَلَيْهَا مَكْتَسَبَتْ, and held accountable for what you've done. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. How do I increase this iman? How do I go from 70% iman today to better iman? Because iman is a part of our aqidah, يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. It increases with obedience and decreases when you disobey Allah. It increases with less disobedience and decreases with less obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you did not do wrong. If you maintain, and that you can see that. In Ramadan, you're fasting, taraweeh, and mashallah, Ramadan comes to an end, happy Eid, and your iman begins to dwell and stagnate a little. Why? Because your amal has decreased. Amanu wa amilu salihat. Iman and amal have always been intertwined. They're twins. Two of the same coin. One cannot be without the other. You cannot say, Shaykh, in my heart I have iman, but in my house there is no salah. You cannot say there's iman, but I don't turn into the Quran for answers. You cannot say there's iman, but I don't give my zakah. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Iman is not just in Allah, but it's also belief within yourself. And therefore, whether it's to accomplish the degree you're studying or to finish your postgraduate work, iman, what is the strategy of success? That you hold faith. Faith in my ability. I have faith that Allah has given me a certain opportunity in life. That Allah has given me a place that others haven't been given. Allah's given me wealth and time and opportunity that I can accomplish something that others haven't. My qadr is here and now. And if I don't take it, then this is a lesson. A lessening of my iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that from the signs of belief of a believer, that they have itqan. إِذَا هَمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِعَمَلٍ أَتْقَنَ. When a believer starts an act, he does it to their greatest capacity, to the perfection and the ihsan that it requires. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا. As much belief as you have in yourself, in your ability, if you don't commit, if you don't get up, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا. Tell them, get up, do something. If you don't seek to show, فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Allah sees your good deeds. وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers need to be inspired by your actions. What makes a person an imam to others? Allah describes Bani Israel. He says at the end of Surah As-Sajda, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. I made from these people, Bani Israel, imams, leaders. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. When they demonstrated patience in the difficulties that they had and showed certainty, unwavering in faith and commitment to Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. After Jilsatul Istiraha, I will conclude the last two sections of Surah Al-Asr that are strategies to success. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. صلي على نبينا محمد. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. الإيمان يوجب العمل. إيمان is what brings birth into action. Action on its own unilaterally is destined to fail. You know, Nike, it says, just do it. Nice. But you can't do it alone. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. that Allah would warn the Prophet ﷺ, لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا. They would leave you, Ya Muhammad ﷺ. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Forgive them if they make a mistake. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Ask me for their forgiveness. Everybody, even Musa alayhi salam, he stands on Tur Sina and Allah reveals himself. He hears Allah. He witnesses the power of Allah on that mountain. Inni ana rabbuk. I am your Lord. فَاخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ. After all of this, Allah says, أَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ. Throw down your... All of the signs Allah gives him. What's the first dua Musa makes? قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. Make my path easy. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا. Give me someone to carry the wizr, the burden of this mission. Min ahli, somebody I can trust from my family. هارون أخي, let it be my brother. Ya Musa, you are speaking to Allah Rabbul Izza. You're asking for an assistant and Allah is with you? Allah tells you, إني معكم. أسمع وأرى, I see and I hear. Oh Allah, yes, I know, but can I have هارون يعني? Subhanallah. So the next part of the ayah. الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات و تواصوا بالحق. Those who come together. It's not أوصوا بالحق. It's not those who advise others. تواصوا. They give and take advice mutually. Even from those lesser than them. Even from those who are ill-informed. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Badr, he camps with the believers on the side of the valley that it's not strategic. And Salman al-Farisi, a battle-hardened warrior, he says to the Prophet ﷺ, أَقَدْ آمَرَكَ رَبُّكَ. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you this is the place we should be? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, I just came out of the desert. This was the... He said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, if we go to the other side of the valley, وَقَطَعْنَا عَنْهُمُ الْمَاء, and we became between us and them and the water wells, it's more strategic. So the Prophet ﷺ said, everybody uproot your camp. Let's go to the other side of the valley. Why? Because تواصوا بالحق. What's the truth? خذ الحق من كل من تكلم به. Take the truth from whoever. وإن كان كافرا. Even an unbeliever. Even somebody who you may think doesn't have your interest in mind. What he's saying is the truth there. Don't qualify it by their person or their persona or their image or their belief. Or the reality of the circumstance other than the qualification. Is it haqq or batil? Tawasaw, give and take. And notice the word tawasaw, it's that they're going back and forth. It's not instructional, command-based, just do this. La, it's give and take. Speaking to each other, communicating is a strategy of success. Tawasaw bil haqq, but don't just make it be about the truth. Wa tawasaw bil sabr. Subhanallah, the truth is bitter. Wallahi, there were times when people say the truth to me, I don't want to hear it. All of us. Sometimes my wife, she looks me right in the face, she gives me the truth. There. In Egypt, we have a saying. The saying, it's, I don't know if you'll understand in English. We say, "Inta awiz al-haq wala ibn ammu." Do you want the Egyptian smile, of course. Do you want the truth or its cousin? Because they're related, but they're not the same. I can give you what is like the truth, but if I feel that you're not going to receive it, I might give you its cousin, close to the truth. La. Tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bil sabr. Allahu Akbar. Look at how Allah ends the surah. Asr and sabr. What's the one thing you need throughout the time of your life? Subhanallah. The one word that sums up the human condition that leads you to any success is going to be that you hold on longer than others can hold on. That you are more courageous when others give up. That you have greater tenacity, greater grit, greater determination, greater push, greater desire. When others let go of the rope, you hold on. When it's bitter, you maintain, you're steadfast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes us as an ummah. He says to us, as is in that famous ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah and other places, عشرون صابرون يغلبوا مئتين. If you have 20 determined, patient people, they can bring about the defeat of an overwhelming force of 200. The 10% rule that Allah establishes in the Quran, you see it in reality. Do you have 10% of our Muslim community in the Masjid for Fajr? Because it's who's going to wake up at 3:45 and drive out to the nearest Masjid? Sabr. Sabr ala al-ma'mur. Patience is not easy. And the times that you live in today, the only najah from fitna, when you ask, you say, Shaykh, my children, how do I pray? Sabr. How do you teach them patience? How do you teach them to endure? How do you teach them that they can't have everything instantaneously? Reward cannot be instantaneous. Punishment cannot be instantaneous. Holding on, being patient, being sabir is the essence of success in al-asr that we live in today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to increase our iman with amal salih. That Allah opens our hearts to be able to give and take mutual advice that is built on truth, that is not self-serving, that is not detrimental, and that when it's difficult to hear, that we have patience and endurance in it. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum. يا فوز المستغفرين استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين واخذ الأعداء كأعداء الدين اللهم اهدنا واهدهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك